A reading tonight is Colossians, first chapter, verses 9 and 10. For this cause all we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Well, good evening, everyone. Very thankful for Harvey's prayer and the songs that Terry's led and Brent for the scripture reading. We're so thankful for that. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way. We're always thankful for that, and we hope you have safe travels. When I was 18, I was asked for the first time around, then I kind of mixed up the timeline from time to time, but I was asked to go and sub in for the first time. And I went and I subbed in, and I preached, and I said, okay, well. And then the calls kept coming in, and I couldn't say no. But over the course of time, I went to a lot of congregations, and when you're young and you don't say no, you find yourself in spots where maybe you didn't expect to be, and face questions that you don't expect to face. But one of the toughest questions that perhaps I faced, and it was framed differently and from different angles, and I think many times it was meant in good spirit, but it always bothered me a little bit. But it was always a question on, how can we make the church grow? Because usually the places I would find myself at would be groups of 20 Christians meeting together, 5 Christians meeting together. In fact, I started reflecting and trying to think of the smallest group I preached to, but that was never a concern of mine. I just went wherever the call was. In fact, when the call was to come here to Sandyville, I didn't ask any questions, really. The call came in. It was Jeff on the other line. He said, hey, I need someone to sub in, so and so forth. He says you've come recommended from so and so and so and so, and why don't you come? I didn't ask any questions. I said, I'll go. But the thing that bothers me about that question is, I think sometimes we focus so much on the numbers that we lose out on so many other things that God views as so important and so needed. And I'm not saying that numbers should not be a focus to some degree, because we understand connected to the numbers are souls. But I think we understand that a lot of things are changing in our country. The way the Bible is perceived, the way Christianity is perceived, the way the Bible perceives is changing. I read some statistics. Of course, I don't know how accurate they are, but they said from 1990 to 2005, the Churches of Christ that participated in the survey, that the individuals that claim to be members of the Lord's Church has declined 10% over the term of 1990 to 2015. And I think most of us, maybe not most of us, maybe because I've traveled, I saw this trend of individuals turning away from the truth, turning away from the Bible, and individuals getting very nervous. How can we answer this? How can we make the church grow? And we're getting nervous as people seem to be leaving it and lacking interest in God's Word. I think it's very important that we understand the soil that we stand on, that we understand the environment where we find ourselves, that we understand our society and how they view Christianity. See, what I think is so unfortunate is that what people are sacrificing is individuals are moving from the truth to accommodate growth. They say, well, if the church isn't going to grow numerically, what we have to do is we have to make some changes, we have to make some edits. And where the changes and edits often come, unfortunately, I believe, is God's Word. What I'd like to look at this evening is church growth, and just a few things that as I traveled around and as I formed my thoughts on it and tried to look at the Bible to guide my thoughts, some thoughts that I have in relation to church growth. The first thing that I'd like you to think about when it comes to church growth is don't focus on the numbers. Don't focus on the numbers. Well, why would you say such a thing? Surely the numbers are important, and I understand that numbers are tied to souls, but when we are focusing primarily on the numbers, what happens is we'll start making sacrifices. Sacrifices in relation to truth. Sacrifices in relation to what the Bible says. Perhaps we're willing to compromise places that we shouldn't compromise. See, when I started pouring my ideas around this, I said, let the world focus on the numbers, but what we should focus on is what the Bible tells us to focus on. We should focus on God's Word and what He tells us to focus upon. Our Christian mindset should be directed and guided by the Word of the Bible. And you know what? When I look through the pages of the Bible, I don't see the primary focus of the New Testament church on numbers. It's not something that I look through. When I look through at the Apostle Paul and I look through all these people preaching the gospel, their main focus is not the numbers. They're not looking at the numbers and saying, this number. That's not what they're looking at. They're looking at different things, and let's look at some of those things that they're looking at. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 11, it says, if any man speaks of the oracles of God, we want to know what the Bible says on this issue. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we want to see what the Bible has to say about growth. When I say don't focus on the numbers, the idea that I really am thinking about is that if we focus on the numbers, we've already lost. Because I think when we look at the Bible and what the Bible teaches about Christianity and Jesus' path, if it's not a numbers game in relation to, didn't we understand that we weren't going to be in the majority? Didn't we understand that we're not going to be in the majority? But I feel like sometimes people slip into that trap where we need to be in the majority. Everyone needs to be a Christian, which we want that, we desire that. But the reality is when we look at the Bible and Jesus' teachings, I think he teaches us that the church is not going to win numerically. The church is going to win all kinds of ways. It's going to win spiritually. It's going to win the spiritual battle. It's going to win in the concept and the perspective of eternity. But the Bible never promised to win numerically. In fact, in John chapter 15, verse 18, I think that's kind of an idea that God's getting at. In John chapter 15 and verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. It says, if the world, this idea of a majority of people. And we turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. See, if we focus on the numbers so much, we've got to focus on the numbers the Bible way. And I'm not saying that numbers aren't necessarily important in terms of souls, but I'm saying if that's our main focus, we've got to get the numbers up. We've got to get the numbers up. We've got to get the numbers up. What happens is it brings in this underlying danger of let's compromise the truth. Let's make some accommodations. Let's make some compromise. Let's throw out this part of the Bible because it's offending too many people. Let's go this direction because that's what's trendy right now, even though it's contradicting to what the Bible says. See, I don't think that the Bible focuses on the numbers. In fact, when numbers are mentioned, I think it's more of just stating the facts. And Acts chapter 2 is one place where we see the numbers mentioned. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. I don't think it was necessarily that they were focusing on the numbers. I think they were just stating the fact. The fact of what happened, I don't think they were focusing and centering everything that they were doing on the numbers. See, I think focusing on the numbers is kind of a denominational idea. I don't find it in the pages of the Bible where they're saying, oh, we've got to get our numbers up. We've got to get our numbers up. So we have to ask ourselves the question is what do we see in the New Testament church? What were they focusing on? You know, I'm really glad that there's many evangelists and many preachers that don't get lost in the numbers. I'm glad there's many preachers and evangelists that don't get lost in the numbers because the numbers can get discouraging. If we turn over to Matthew chapter 13, we find the parable of the sower. And I constantly reference the parable of the sower in my own life in terms of what's happening to the sower. The sower goes out into the field and starts sowing, and we start to see the situation unfold, the parable in Matthew chapter 13. And we see it explained in verses 18 through 23 in chapter 13 of Matthew. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on the stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he does not root; he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. See, when I see this parable of the sower, this person that's going out and spreading the seed, the word of God, three of the four of these situations doesn't end out good. Three out of four. He's sowing the seed and some go on the wayside. That's one bad situation. Some of the seeds, they fall in the stony places. Another bad situation. Some of the seeds fall in a place where the thorns come up and choke it out. But only one of those four falls. Look at those percentages. I'm glad that evangelists and preachers that preach to me the truth, evangelists that try to spread the word, I'm glad that they don't focus on the numbers. Because if you focus primarily on the numbers, you would become so discouraged that you would stop sowing. You would say, I've got to give up. The word of God is being rejected everywhere. I'm so lucky that some preachers and some evangelists that in relation to my life did not give up. But they didn't focus primarily on the numbers. Because I think if you focus primarily on the numbers, what would happen is that you would give up. Because you would look at all the times the word has been rejected for various reasons because of all of the situations that happened throughout this life. But clearly the sower was focused on something else. The sower was not focused on the ones that didn't succeed. The sower had to be focusing on something. What was the sower focusing on that kept him going, even though he saw these seeds eaten by the birds, even though he saw some of these seeds fall in the stony places, even though he saw some of these plants that even grew up and then they were choked out? What kept the sower going? And I think that's a question that we have to consider. What kept the sower going? Was it the sower realized that the seed was so important that it needed to be spread? You know, numbers perhaps have their place, but I think that when we are primarily focused on numbers, we've got to check our focus. Because I don't think that the church was putting that as their number one priority. The number one priority is that we need to fill every seat. I think their priorities lay in a little bit different places. So what was the New Testament church focused on in relation to growth? I actually find it interesting when you start looking at the passages that the Bible talks about growth. Let's look at a few of these this evening. I think when the Bible talks about growth, it's almost never in relation to numerical growth. It's in relation to growth in knowledge and Christian qualities. So when people bring up numbers so many times, I believe they need to check their focus. We need to check our focus, make sure our focus is aligned with the New Testament church. It says, so if we're focused on numbers, we need to check our focus, see where the New Testament church was focused. We realize that the Bible encourages us probably more than any other growth aspect of our life. Number one, grow in knowledge. Grow in knowledge. When I started searching growth throughout the Bible, every time I read that word, it was almost always tied to knowledge. Do we consider that the growth of the church is in relation to the knowledge that the church obtains? In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. I'm going to rattle off kind of a string of verses, but they're all going to basically say the same thing. It says, but grow in grace and knowledge. Colossians chapter 1 verses 9 through 10. It says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. He says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word and conduct, in spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What is he supposed to give attention to? To reading, exhortation, and doctrine. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. See, when I start looking at the Bible, and the picture that starts to be painted is that Christians should be growing in knowledge. That's what the New Testament church was focused on. The New Testament church was focused on the idea that we need, individual Christians, that we collectively need to grow in knowledge. That was their goal. That was their focus. That was their conversation. Let's grow in knowledge. Let's study God's Word. He tells Timothy to give attention to reading. In 1 Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, it says, be filled with knowledge. It says, fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, grow in grace and knowledge. What was the New Testament church focused on? What was Paul focused on when he was writing so many of these letters to these churches? That you need to grow in knowledge. Is that our priority? It's our priority to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says that's his prayer. He's praying for them. What's he praying for them? That they grow in knowledge. Is that our focus? Since I see her so many times, even though I know that many of those people that were approaching me were approaching me with good, sincere hearts, if we focus on the numbers, I think we missed it. If we're not growing in knowledge, we missed it. If we're not growing in knowledge, we're going to miss the boat in terms of missing the boat of our own eternities and the eternities of all of us here. Not only do we see, I think, growth in terms of our knowledge being encouraged, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, it says craving. It says craving, the pure milk of the Word. I was craving that. But it also gives us this idea that we should grow in relation to Christian qualities. That as we live our Christian lives, as we obtain the knowledge of what God wants us to do, the knowledge of right and wrong and all of these things, God's expectation for us, that we start applying that to our life and that we grow in Christian qualities. The way we act, the way we talk, the way we speak. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, says, but also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This idea of that once we've obtained the knowledge, there's a growth process that happens where we start developing as Christians, where we start growing in these Christian qualities that God wants us to possess. What I find interesting is when I look through the New Testament, and perhaps I'm wrong on this, but as I've looked through the New Testament, I see churches, the Church of Christ, the Church of the Lord, the Church of God, in the New Testament church, they were rebuked for primarily two reasons. What are those two reasons? They're rebuked because of their lack of knowledge, and they're rebuked because they're not conducting themselves like Christians should. Nowhere do I see the Apostle Paul write and say, you know what, your attendance is down. Your attendance is down, you need to get on that, you need to focus on that. That's not what Paul's writing. Those are not in his letters and all the other letters of the New Testament. When churches are rebuked, they're rebuked because of the lack of knowledge, and they are rebuked because they are not conducting themselves like Christians. Well, let's see some examples. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. What I like about this passage is it gives this idea of growth. It says we need to leave the discussion of elementary principles and let us go on. Let us go on. There's a time where we have to grow and we have to move on. We have a base knowledge and we need to move on from it. But I think Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 is a little bit more upfront. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is those who are by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What's the idea? What are they getting after? You are not growing in knowledge. It's not that you're not growing in attendance. You're not growing in knowledge. And not growing in knowledge is a problem for the New Testament church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 8. It says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, you are not carnal and behaving like mere men. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Because you're focused on the wrong things, and we knew all the divisions and these people trying to follow these different people at the church of Corinth. And he says, this can't be. We've got to go past this. We're supposed to be following Christ. Again and again and again, one of the times, when I look through the letters, all I see is they're getting rebuked because they're lacking knowledge. With the congregation here, with the congregation anywhere, with the congregation where I went and preached so many places, would they be rebuked for lack of knowledge? Not only do I see churches rebuked for lack of knowledge, they're also rebuked because they're not exhibiting Christian conduct. We see this in the church of Corinth. We have a situation that develops in the church of Corinth where individuals are not going and conducting themselves in an appropriate way, and Paul calls them out. He says, you can't be doing these things. You can't be doing these things. And we could go through example after example after example. To be honest with you, so many of the New Testament letters, they're written with a love of concern, but also this idea that you need to get yourself right. You're not conducting yourself like Christians. You guys are dividing, fighting. You guys aren't, you don't have the right view on this particular moral issue. Individuals should not be doing that. You need to be doing this. A rebuke because they're not conducting themselves in the right way. See, when I look at the church in the New Testament, I just cannot get the picture that I think our society is trying to push on us. The idea that numbers is all we should worry about. What I see the New Testament church focus on is growth in knowledge and growth in Christian conduct. The church simply was not focused on the big number that so often is posted. Now, I'm not saying that that's not important. We know that that number correlates with souls. I understand the strong relationship there. But when numbers become your number one motivation, a whole bunch of stuff gets thrown out the door. Because I've seen it as I travel to different places. As numbers get lower and lower and lower, it seems like all kinds of compromises need to be made. We need to make a compromise here so we can get the numbers up. We need to make a compromise here so we can get the numbers up. That's not church growth. That's not what the growth I see in the Bible. See, I think that that's very important. That number one is that we don't focus, number one, our priorities, number one, on the numbers. When I look at the New Testament church, I see them primarily focused on two things, growth in knowledge and growth in Christian qualities or Christian conduct. And what we understand is that when we get the knowledge that God imparts in His inspired Word, and once we try to absorb it and let it change ourselves, I think evangelism happens naturally. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that when you believe that and take the appropriate steps in obedient faith and doing the things that God wants us to do to become Christians, you understand the implications for the world, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Don't you believe He saved you? Wouldn't you want to take that message to the world? If you have that knowledge and you're growing in Christian qualities, evangelism is just a natural next step. I want to tell people about Jesus. And I think that was a natural thing that we saw in the New Testament church. I want to tell people about Jesus. I want to spread the word. I want to spread the good news. I want to tell people about Jesus. Are we going to evangelize? See, I believe Christians should spread the word of God. They should have the knowledge and take action because that's what the New Testament church was focused on. They were focused on the knowledge and they were focused on Christian qualities. And when you put those two together, I don't know how you can go anywhere else but evangelism. When you know the story of Jesus, when you know how He wants you to change your life, how can you not go to the world and spread those beautiful things? People have to be careful because when that number, that focus on numbers becomes number one, a lot of things have happened and a lot of bad things have happened, even in the Lord's church over the years. We could fill the building easily. We could put $20 bills underneath the pews. We could fill this building easily. That's not the problem. You have to fill it the right way with Christian knowledge and Christian focus and Christian qualities. It has to be filled that way. Because the only growth that's worthwhile is tied to truth. The only growth that will ever be worthwhile in perspective of eternity is tied to truth. We see this a lot of times when people become Christians. How many times that, of course, you know, I mean, there's a little subjectivity there. Someone comes forward, but they come forward for the wrong reason. They come forward because mom and dad. Or they come forward because of this situation or this situation. And of course, that individual knows what's going on, so on and so forth. But how many times do people do things for the wrong reasons? We don't want the church to grow for the wrong reasons. I don't want people to become Christians for the wrong reasons. And sometimes that's what happens. Because we've got to be focused. We've got to be so laser focused on what the New Testament church is focused on. Growth in knowledge and growth in Christian quality. And then from that, that drives us to spread the word of God. I don't want the church to grow for the wrong reasons. And see, as I went and traveled different places, I felt like that was sometimes my fight that I had on my hands, was let's not grow for the wrong reasons. Let's grow like the New Testament church grew. Let's not try to bring in things that the Bible or God or Jesus would not want us to bring in just because we're nervous. We've got to be focused on the souls. You know, we have a job to evangelize and spread the truth. But if we focus primarily on the numbers, what happens is temptations come for us to spread in other ways. You know, I think of the parable of the sower so many times. I think what happens is when we don't see growth, we look to the seed. And we say, something's got to be wrong with the seed. You know, we look at it, we inspect it, say, something's got to be wrong with the seed. It needs to be updated and changed. It's not a problem with the seed. Now, there might be a problem with the soil. It might be a problem where the seed's falling, but it's not the seed. And that's what many times people try to change. Let's change the seed. Let's cut it in half and let's see if that helps. Let's get the tomato seed in half and see, yeah, I mean, and I know, but we need it all. We need the seed. It's not a problem with the seed, but I think some people get so discouraged because they don't see any growth. It's got to be a problem with the seed, but they don't take any time to inspect the soil. You know, a lot of times they do that. They inspect the soil sometimes before you build, or sometimes they'll inspect the soil, see how much the percentage of this, how much the percentage of this. It's not a soil problem. And I think something else that gets lost in this talk sometimes is, you know, no seed, no plant. Is the seed being planted in your life? Is the seed being planted? Are you going throughout your life and trying to plant the seed? Because I think sometimes people get so discouraged because the soil may be so rough around us that they just think, well, I'm not going to plant the seed. That looks like a bad area. It probably won't be successful, so I'm not going to toss the seed there. And you know what? This area, I think it might be all right, but those individuals, they might just take the word for a little while, and then they'll probably just go away, and they won't, you know, they won't make it through the long run. That's not our job. It's to plant the seed. No seeds, no plants. It's pretty simple. The Bible even teaches that idea in Galatians, and even in Genesis, the idea, no seeds, no plants. Are you planting the seed? Or do you hide the seed away in a place that no one can see it? Sometimes people get nervous when it comes to evangelism and say, I don't know all the answers, I'm not perfect. Well, neither am I. I've dealt with that my whole life. Every time I stand up, I say, how is an 18-year-old or however old I was, how do I have any right, or how can I ever stand in front of individuals and say anything intelligent? And the answer is I can't. Only with the help of God's Word can I. I've got to stick to those words as closely as I can. Lock myself into those words as much as I can. Try to keep my opinion out of it as much as I can. And just stick to the words of God. Just stick to the seed and we'll be okay. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know people get nervous when they go out sometimes and plant the seed. But our job is to do the best we can. To spread the seed. And as we spread the seed, we've got to be focused on certain things. We've got to be focused on growth in knowledge, growth in our conduct, and spreading the seed throughout our lives. And towards the end of Jesus, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Is that happening in our lives? Or has the seed been hidden away? I get nervous so many times when it comes to this question. Like I said, I think if we look at our society, we see how the church is being viewed, how the Bible is being viewed, how the seed of God is being viewed. And I think the temptation comes, you know what we need to do? We need to change the seed. That's not the solution. That's not the solution. And when you look at the New Testament church, that's not what they're focused on. It's interesting how sometimes conversations creep into the Lord's church that I don't think necessarily need to be had. Why would I focus on something that the New Testament church didn't focus on? Now, I understand that numbers is correlated with souls. I don't want someone to walk out of here with that idea. I understand that numbers is correlated with souls. But if numbers becomes your number one thing, we could fill the building tonight. We could fill the building tomorrow. We could fill it every day of the week. But the question is what are we going to use? Are we going to use the words of God? It's a topic that I think sometimes people get nervous about, and as I saw so many things as I've traveled around, and I get so nervous about it because I think people do get nervous about it, and they do get apprehensive, and they say, well, the church is not growing, what must we do? Focus on what the New Testament church did, and not try to come up with a new solution. Perhaps you need to become a member of the New Testament church. Perhaps you've never put the Lord on in baptism. The Bible tells us you have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Perhaps you need to do that. Be added to the church. Perhaps you've walked off that straight and narrow path and you need to return. We'd like to help you in any way we can. If your subject or invitation, we ask you please come as we stand as we sing.